Dr. Maitiri Harwood is one of our wonderful contributors talking of health issues, and she's with us again this morning. Tuhine tēnā koe, Maitiri.
Morena, Dale.
Haven't spoken for a bit, so it's good to hear your voice again. Thanks very much. Look, a lot of issues are intertwined with overall health. So when we think of taking GST or fruit and vegetables, it doesn't immediately spring up as a health issue, but I guess you might have another perspective to share with us, Maitiri.
Yes, well, I think it does have a lot to do with health, as you say. It means you're getting more healthy kai. I think it means you're able to use your money in other ways, including accessing health and being able to visit the GP and things like that, although hopefully less if you're eating more healthy kai, obviously. And then just the, you know, the kind of mental health that goes with that, that you're, you know, the stress of not being able to afford kai and bring healthy kai into the home. So I think all of those things mean that reducing GST on fruit and veggies is going to be a good thing for everybody.
And that's the same, I guess, for a boost in working for families. You work with a lot of whānau who literally are doing it tough week by week, you know, straight from the bank and through the supermarket checkouts, nothing much left at the end of the week. What about boosts for working for families? Some say, suggest too that it would have been better to give those in need more pūtea rather than lifting GST on fruit and veg. But working for families, I mean, they're both designed to assist those who are doing it tough. What do you make of these moves?
Yeah, I think we know that giving whānau more pūtea into their home and letting them choose how they want to spend that money makes a huge difference. You know, we see it when we do things like increase the minimum living wage. Whānau and evidence suggest that those choices of being able to spend money on things like school trips and school supplies and education opportunities for children not only improve their well-being immediately but also in the long term. So, you know, all of these things, I don't, you know, it's not just one solution, it's all of these little things we know do make a difference, but it is hard to demonstrate that when it is so complex and complicated.
Tēnā koe, Maitiri. Obviously, it sounds like you're on the road. Where are you heading to, sister?
Oh, so I've just been Wakaama paddling this morning. We're training. We're off to Hawaii in a few weeks for the Lili Okalani race, 50th anniversary. But a couple of us will be also spending time with some of our Māori whānau over there too, and given the devastation there, trying to do whatever little bit that we can to help there. So just finished waka training, training for that race. Got some other, you know, wider whānau connections to make throughout the Pacific, but on my way to Mahi now and at the university, teaching our future medical workforce.
Tēnā koe. And tell us about the shape of the classes that you're addressing now. We often speak about the cultural makeup of those who will fuel our health workforce in the future. Talk us about the demographic breakdown of the classes you teach.
Yeah, so I'm teaching into the fourth, fifth and sixth year of the medical school. We're sort of around 270 students per class now, and that will increase with the government funding up to 300 over the next, well, starting next year actually. The MAPAS and Vision 2020 scheme have been critical in improving the number of Māori and Pacific students coming into and finishing medical school, but importantly this extra funding is targeting more Māori, Pacific and rural students, so I'm really keen to see those numbers increasing as well. It's beautiful to see them coming through. They certainly do well in the clinical years, in my experience, because they've got, you know, more of an understanding of people's contexts and lives, so important that we get that diversity in so that, you know, people have meaningful connections with their health providers.
Maitiri, there's been political talk about abolishing Dakawhai Order really before it's had a chance to get going. You've watched the developments here, as many of us have, to be honest, as we seek more autonomy in the health sector. What would you say of these political manoeuvres to discredit this ambitious kaupapa that finally gives Māori more mana more tahaki in the health space?
That's right. I mean, I've always been an advocate and a huge supporter for Te Aka Whai Ora and the ability for Māori to have tino rangate te tanga when it comes to not only decision-making in the health space, but also funding those decisions to be able to demonstrate wonderful outcomes. What I've liked about Te Aka Whai Ora is they've been very reflective of themselves. They've always, you know, looking at themselves. The report that came out through the Hauora Māori Advisory Committee and the Minister was really a partnership with Te Aka Whai Ora to look at ways that they could improve, and they've stepped up immediately. They've said, you know, these are some of our areas we need to improve upon. Let's get on and do it. So wonderful to see those. It would be such a shame to have come this far, and as you say, not being given enough time and probably not enough resource to be able to achieve those aspirations that Tā Mason and our tupuna have had for Te Aka Whai Ora for many, many years. So I really hope that is not the case, that we continue to support this wonderful organisation and its mahi.
Tēnā koe. All the best with the work, with the lecturing, but also with the wakaama. I mean, I think that's fantastic. In fact, I'll be talking with a program director of the Hawaiian, or a Hawaiian radio station based at Maui too, so in a moment. So all the best with that trip, and thanks for sharing some kōrero with our peeps again today, Māti. They travel safe.
Oh, ngā mihi, Dale.
Tēnā koe. Tēnā koe tuhine. Thanks. Dr. Māti Howard, super talented wahine.